Hello and welcome to the Business Show here on Radio Newark. A couple of quick introductions. I'm Simon Gabitas. I'm the current chair of Newark Business Club, and I'm going to be hosting this show along with some business friends. So here with me today is the chair of the Action Group at Newark Business Club. It is, of course, Mr. Michael Hardy. Hello, Michael.
Hi, everybody. Great to be here and on our first business podcast and show on Radio Newark. What an exciting time for the business club.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely something new, something exciting. And we are excited with the new partnership we have with Radio Newark. So I suppose really we should be talking about what Newark Business Club is all about, a bit of an intro. And you may be listening to this as the podcast, but this is also going out on air before the Newark Business Club breakfast meeting. So you may well be listening to this on your way over now. So hopefully we'll see you very soon as well.
Yeah, it's really weird, isn't it? We're here looking forward to our breakfast meeting at 6:45 on the first Friday of the month. But this might be a Wednesday afternoon while you're having a cup of tea. So it's really fun to do this for the first time and bring together some information about Newark Business Club, but also bring some business updates for the Newark community.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things, certainly since I've been chair of Newark Business Club, that I've been very keen to do. It's about sharing information, sharing knowledge, sharing skills. So hopefully along the way, we're going to hear from other businesses. We're going to be talking to some of our sponsors as part of Newark Business Club, but we're also going to be sharing other people's journeys. We're going to be listening to what they've achieved, what they're doing, and hopefully some of that will be very insightful for people listening to this on the podcast.
So should we just give a bit of background about Newark Business Club, how long we've been here, Simon? And you're the 11th chair, I believe.
I think so. So the business club was established in 2002. So now in its 22nd year, it's going on as strong as it ever has been. And we've got a really, really strong, skilled committee full of volunteers that make up that group. So I suppose just, you know, it might be worth maybe running through some of the people that sit in that committee. So as mentioned, I'm the current chair. My vice chair is Simon Shaw of Duncan Antopoulos.
So, yeah, so the business club's been around for 22 years and we started in a cafe in the centre of Newark, where a group of business owners wanted to get together to try and raise the profile of businesses and get some traction with local authorities. And it's amazing to think that 22 years later, we still have over 75, 80 business owners every month turning up at our meeting, Simon.
Absolutely. And even on a very cold January morning, we get those numbers through the door, which is fantastic.
One of the things that I think it's worth saying, and we'll sort of broaden this over the months ahead, is we're more than just a networking meeting. The networking meeting is really important to the club and obviously brings a lot of business owners together and gives them an opportunity to meet, share some of their opportunities and find other businesses that they can work with. But we're a lot more than that, and I think we're going to talk about that today, but also over the coming months about how we can help Newark businesses.
Absolutely, and I think we were talking about this the other day. The idea is, I suppose, we want to be the voice for business in Newark. And I think that's, again, like you say, that's not just our breakfast meetings, that's some of the additional stuff that happens around that. So I guess now is probably a good time to talk about the committee.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We've got some new people that we've recently brought onto the committee, and we've got a very skilled committee of 12 people now, all volunteers. So as mentioned, I'm the current chair. My vice chair is Simon Shaw of Duncan Antopoulos. And I think we asked him earlier on, but how long has Simon now been on the committee?
Too long. No, sorry.
He's 262.
No. Not too long. That's not. He's been on there for 20 years. He's one of the founder guys from the business club.
So. And I suppose it's worth mentioning the other person that's been on for a similar amount of time as well. So that is James Fountain. And James is very much part of our kind of marketing and club communications. James has also been a previous chair of the club.
And Action Group as well.
Action Group chair.
He was instrumental in trying to get Newark on the weather map. So there's some previous
Newark action on the weather map. That man's worn more hats than we know. But we have got, like we say, we've got a great committee that sit around us. So worth mentioning just some of those people. So Michelle Allen from Access Accountants, she's the treasurer. So always good to have an accountant as your treasurer. We've got Vicky Cousins, who is the club secretary. We have, of course, you as our action group chair. So is it worth mentioning now a little bit about the action group?
We can do. I mean, the action group is, I suppose, the real voice for business in Newark. And our role, I see that role as being the conduit between our members, the businesses, and organisations who are there to support the business, but let's be honest, trying to work out who to go and speak to in Newark and Sherwood District Council or Chamber of Commerce or even Nottinghamshire. It's not easy. And when you're a small business owner, that's you know, you've got enough things going on in your world. So we bring people together, we find solutions and find a way of helping people to overcome some of their issues. One of the things we did recently was with the Flying Circus. So, and this is not about us making huge difference, but it was about getting the Flying Circus and the local district council around the table to find their issues and solve their issues so that a great business in this town could keep trading and find a solution that, you know, everybody was happy with.
Yeah, and I think, you know, conduit is probably the best word for that, isn't it? It's kind of bringing those parties together. And ultimately, I think that's one of the other things about Newark Business Club and, you know, other clubs and networking events that are in the area. But the idea is that we want people to come together, people to work together, people to support each other. And as we said, you know, a moment ago, we want people to share that information because, you know, collectively, if we can do that together, then hopefully, you know, we're all going to achieve more through those things.
Yeah, I mean, the business community, anybody who runs a business knows it's not easy. There's, you know, lots of hours, lots of challenges. You know, one day you're an accountant, one day you're the salesman, one day you're the production manager, one day you're HR. So all of those things and bringing people together, sharing stories, sharing, you know, what you can do and help each other is really important. And also championing the wider regional activity. So one of the things, you know, that the action group also do is we engage the local railways. I have been called the fat controller, which I think is a little bit harsh. But that piece
there's another hat for you.
Yeah, absolutely. But that piece of getting the railways to see the importance of Newark, which obviously has two mainline stations, and not being ignored because we've got Nottingham at one end, London at another, Lincoln at another, but actually making sure we get our fair share and get enough transport links to take people to work, bring people to work, and also bring hospitality and leisure people into the town, because that's really important.
Yep, absolutely. And I suppose kind of picking up on some of that retail stuff, that's another one of the roles that we've brought back into the business club as well. So we've got James Carpenter of BB Mortgages and Kevin Guthrie of Not My Monkey, who are both heading up our retail group at the moment. We've put some more resource into that and we're excited to see where we can kind of, again, work with other existing partners in and around the town to help strengthen some of that focus, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, the retail arena is a tough, and the hospitality is tough.
Yep.
And while we're there to help, I think having people who are living, breathing it day in, day out, who understand it and have a network of people in that community that they can feed off and support is really important. We've obviously got Shop Newark, which is Laura Cook as well, who's not part of the committee, but is part of the focus. And she comes to the action group meetings and works with James as well and Kevin from a Shop Newark and retail group perspective.
I think that's really important as well. I think, you know, we don't want to duplicate what's happening. This is all about supporting and working together and really kind of enhancing some of the stuff that's already happening in and around the town. Yeah. So, no, that's, again, all exciting stuff that's happening, an additional resource from our committee. We mentioned James Fountain earlier on, the Marketing Club Communications. We've got Katie Gibson of the Children's Bereavement Centre, who has recently joined the committee supporting and helping with marketing and events. We have Daniel Otten and Scott Wrigley, who are our charity champions. And then we've got Emma Holden, who is also supporting with Emma Holden, sorry, of YMCA at the moment, supporting marketing and events with the team. And I think, you know, one of the things that we have recently done is broken that up in some subcommittees to add some kind of focus area groups to allow us to put some time into that. As I mentioned earlier on, the Newark Business Club is put together by a group of volunteers that make that committee. So it's about making sure that collectively together we can achieve some of the things that we are trying to do over the next year or so.
Yeah, and I think the events piece is really important because, you know, 6:45, 7 a.m. on one Friday of the month is a great sort of start to the month and we get lots of people together. But there are other opportunities to meet throughout the month. Obviously, the action group down the road, we'll have a retail group. But actually, our Harlaxton at Christmas was a great event. How Absolutely. Do we do other events of that ilk that don't change the club, but actually give other opportunities for people to meet and to socialise and to get to know each other, which is, you know, networking is not just about selling. In fact, if you're selling at networking, you've failed.
I like that. But it is. It's not just about, again, you know, the people in the room. It's the people outside the room. It's about the collaboration. So you mentioned Harlaxton. We did a Christmas evening at Harlaxton, and that was in collaboration with Grantham Business Club. So we got to work with their team, their committee, and we put on a joint event, which saw 130 people attend that event in December. We had Jem Hills as a keynote speaker, and it was a great event. It was a fantastic venue. It is an amazing venue. And they're the sort of things that, moving forwards, we're going to be doing more of those. And it's worth mentioning that we have got something up our sleeve, hopefully for the summer. So we'll keep you all posted with plans around that.
I think the Harlaxton thing is fantastic because it's Christmas. It's fantastic because it's bringing Grantham and business clubs together. But, you know, as independent individual business owners, it's very rare that you can have a Christmas party because if you're a, you know, one or two person business, having a Christmas party sort of is just feels like going to the office in the pub, which is probably better. But so actually going to a group like that and having, you know, nice meal and lots of people around who, you know, are celebrating because it is in that run up to Christmas. So it also forms probably a Christmas party for some of our members.
Indeed, and I can confirm that we have got a day already in mind for that this December, sorry. Yeah. We are in 2024, apparently. That is in the plan. And like I say, there is focus around that from the business club. We want to bring as many people together as we possibly can. I think just picking up on what you just said there, Michael, it's you know, the breakfast meeting's fantastic, but not everyone can make all those meetings. Time isn't always, you know, working for every single person. So if we can try and do other things to get people together, then we'll certainly be trying to do that over the coming year as well.
You mentioned the charity champions in Scott and Daniel. I think that's something that's really grown over the past few years in, you know, again, a different type of focus within the club and our charity of the quarter, which is an exciting and opportunistic piece for the charities in the local area. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, that was something. In fact,
I think you were the charity champion.
Charity champion. So myself and it was Amy Codd at the time, who was chair. We put our heads together, and I suppose really what we were trying to do was give as many charities a voice as possible. And we have a platform at Newark Business Club where, like we said earlier on, you know, we might get somewhere between 70, 80 to 100 people to our breakfast meetings. And what a good platform that is for charities and good causes to come and talk to our members. And sometimes it's not just about raising money. Sometimes it's about finding additional resources, maybe getting a trustee or a new director on their board. And there are other things that are a priority for different charities. But this was a way to try and do that in a fair way and give lots of different charities that opportunity. So over the last few years, that has certainly grown. I understand, I think there's 21 or 22 charities that are part of that. And the way that we've done that is we will do a random draw, if you like, out of a hat. I mean, it's been out of a hat. It's been on a bingo card. It's, I think, Daniel
cards,
may have done,
cards.
Yeah. A card trick that, you know, only Daniel knew what was going on at that point. But we want to try and make sure that we get, you know, as many different charities that opportunity to stand in front of our members and talk. And, you know, we've had some amazing success stories. If we think about was it Gifts from Fairies not too long ago, they came along and they won our Charity of the Quarter. The money that they won from us. So that was a collective between money that was donated from the Newark Business Club. There was a donation from the Round Table, yep, and also from BNA Charity that particular quarter. That money enabled them to become a registered charity. Yep. And the emotion when I saw that when we were chatting about it was amazing because that enabled them to move forwards, that enabled them to look at office space. So it, again, that was you know, all because of, you know, some of the stuff that, that we've done with that charity, the Quarter. And so the idea being is that we allow those charities to be picked out of a hat at one of our meetings, and then those charities come up and they get 5 minutes each to talk about, you know, like I say, who they are, what they're all about, and what might help them moving forwards. And like I say, it's not always about money. Sometimes it's about, you know, some other things, resources. We're going to be doing that, I think, next month. So goodness knows what kind of card trick Daniel's got up his sleeve to try and pick three different charities out.
Well, if you're not listening to the podcast and you're listening live on the morning drive into the business club, we'll be doing it this morning. I think raising the profile and awareness of charities in the area is really, really important. And we've had people who've got, you know, new trustees, and that sort of raises that profile. And how many times have we listened to the charities and gone, A, how do we make a decision? But B, didn't even know they existed. And at a time where charity donations are being squeezed, giving them a platform where people can be aware of them is really important. So,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay, so breakfast meeting first Friday of the month. So we've got the February one is on the 2nd. The March one, just to put it into your diaries, is the 1st of March. So it'll be White Rabbits all round on the 1st of March. So if you are listening to this during February, 1st of March, 7 a.m. at the YMCA in Newark, come along and see what it's all about.
But for the February meeting, we have got a plan. It sounds like we haven't got a plan there, but we have actually got a plan. I have got the agenda in front of me. So we've got the Masquerade Ball, who are sponsoring our February meeting, and that is a collaboration between Emmaus Trust and the Children's Bereavement Centre. So I think we're going to be hearing from Rachel and Katie from the Bereavement Centre, and is it Nicola from Emmaus Trust? So I've personally been to that ball a couple of times now. It's a really fantastic event. They've got a fantastic band that I think is the same from last year. So that should be really, really good fun. And they also do a charity auction, which, I've seen lots of people buy lots of things that they probably didn't intend to buy at the start of the evening. But it's always good fun. And last year they raised a tremendous amount of money, which is fantastic for those charities as well. We are also going to be hearing from one of our patron sponsors during the meeting. So we're going to be hearing from Barcode Warehouse. We've got some of their team coming over, which will be great to hear about some of the exciting things and projects that they've got going on in their business. And then we're going to be, as I mentioned, having the charity draw. So goodness knows what Daniel's going to have up his sleeve, but hopefully it's three charities that he can pick out that we'll be hearing from in our March meeting. As normal, there's going to be opportunities for networking. So we do a round of table networking. So usually 60 seconds is on the clock, and we go around the table. It gives people an opportunity to talk about who they are, what they do, why they do what they do. And as I think it was Kevin Guthrie who first said it, but again, you know, people buy from people. Don't forget that. And actually, you know, it's a time for people to connect. It's a time not just to, you know, try and sell stuff on people, but to try and understand what it is that people do and connect. And there might be opportunities to work together as well. So we always do at least one networking session around the table. And then, of course, there's breaks within the meeting as well where people will connect and go and have a good old catch up.
Yeah, and please, please, please don't forget that there are some bacon sausage sandwiches.
There's also other vegetarian.
There is vegetarian plant-based options and plenty of tea and coffee. So
plenty of tea and coffee. And the team at the YMCA are always great at topping that up. I actually remember, so the last meeting, a gentleman came up to me who may well be listening to this on his way over to our meeting, and he came over and he went, I don't mean to just bother you, but the coffee's run out. And as I looked behind him, I said, you mean the one that they've just replaced over there? They did a fantastic job at the YMCA turning that coffee around, and we do go through quite a lot of it. So it's lots going on, lots on the agenda, and I think we're going to get a bit of an update on the Action and retail groups as well, hopefully at that meeting as well, if we can try and cram that all in.
Yeah, if you allow me on stage.
You always say that.
Yeah, it's always the easiest one to get cut. It's a bit like an audit in a business. Everybody always does it.
I just get that message partway through the meeting going, have you got time for me? No, sorry, we've overran. No, we're not. I think it's really important that we do talk about the stuff, because it's, you know, the Action Group, you've got your, in fact, when is your next meeting?
So next meeting is 26th of February. So
have you got a location?
Of course, the Organ Grinder on Portland Street.
Just happens to be in a pub.
Happens to be a pub, 6 p.m. So just at the end of the day. And it's a great location because it's pretty central to town. The guys and girls in the Organ Grinder look after us. We've got the monkey room at the back, which is pretty apt in
it. Yeah, really. I love it.
But we do that on the fourth Monday of the month, and it's 6 till 7. And, you know, we cover the areas that people want to talk about. We don't drive the agenda. The agenda is driven by those who are in the room, which is important.
And if people want to kind of turn up to that, they can just turn up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'll put it onto our Facebook page as an event so you can see it on there, post it through the Facebook page. But yeah, it's there for fourth Monday of the month, and just turn up.
And even if you've not been to a Newark Business Club breakfast meeting, you can still turn up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's another opportunity to meet other business owners. So, you know, it's a small networking group, but, you know, focused on making Newark's voice for business as loud and as clear as possible, which is really important.
Love it. And you may even have a beer at the same time.
It'd be rude not to. We also, one of the things that we sort of started about 18 months ago was looking at whole sustainability and net zero as well, because that's a big issue, you know, not just for Newark, strangely enough, although with the floods and the climate change we're seeing. So we try and look at lots of areas, not just about Newark itself, but how the whole ecosystem of business and everything around you is impacting you.
I'm smiling then because I was actually thinking about having a beer, and then I was thinking about you actually cycling to that meeting, and then you started talking about sustainability. So it's probably worth mentioning about the pledge that you made before it started chucking it down with rain, isn't it?
Yeah, it was in September, so it felt like sort of the right time to do it. It was the end of the summer.
You thought the sun was coming.
The sun was there. But yeah, so I think, you know, sustainability, net zero, climate change, it's a really big issue. But one of the problems with big issues is people find it really difficult to get their head around it and how they can actually impact it, because you sort of go, oh, well, how can little old me make a difference? And I went on a carbon literacy course at NTU back end of last year, just to try and get a bit of insight into, you know, what those guys and girls are saying and what some of the issues are. And I think the biggest thing that came out from me was that this whole climate change, this whole net zero, it's not about saving the earth. It's about saving the human race. The earth will still be here. It's whether we are. And that sort of put it into context. So then you go, okay, but how do I change the world? You know, but actually it's not. It's about us all making small steps and making small changes, because if everybody does a small thing, it will make an impact. So in September I said I'm going to cycle when I'm in and around Newark for meetings, and to be fair, I have been doing that ever since.
Yeah, I mean, I smile when you said it, and I'm smiling now because you turned up to a meeting with me this morning like a drowned rat. But you're doing it, and it's working, and it's your pledge, and it's great. And it's great to see you kind of following on with that. Yeah. And like you say, it's about, you know, us all doing what we can individually.
Yeah, and it's not easy. And I think, you know, sometimes when you say things out loud, it's a bit harder to
like drown rat.
Yeah. When you say it out loud, it's a lot harder not to do it, isn't it? You know, and if you make that commitment, and to be honest, you know, for me, there's a bit of fitness in there, but it's, you know, it's getting me out. I don't need to jump in my car to go 2 miles down the road, but how often do we do that? Mm. So, you know, if I can do that, you can do that as well, Simon.
There is no pledge happening on this right now. We talked about the next meeting. We talked about Barcode Warehouse. They're one of our patron sponsors, so we're going to hear a bit from them. But we've got 7 patron sponsors as part of the business club now. And that was something that I think you worked together quite closely with Kevin on last year, and some of the other committee members. And the idea being is that we wanted to add a next level of sponsorship. So we already have table sponsorships. We've got 12 tables usually at the business club meetings, and all of those tables are sponsored by a different local business. We've of course got our meeting sponsors, so we've got someone that is sponsoring that main meeting, and we get to hear from them, and they have a speaking slot as well for 20 minutes. But the patron sponsors, we wanted to engage with them in a different level. We wanted a partnership. We wanted to understand more about how they wanted to work with us to support that being the voice of business in Newark. So it's probably worth mentioning those patron sponsors as well now. So one of those we've obviously just mentioned, which is Barcode Warehouse, which we'll hear from. We've got Funding Round. So that's Lucy over at Funding Round, who a couple of years now, she's been a patron sponsor. Gusto Group, so Steph and the team over there. We've got Dean and Daniel, the team at Motorfinity, so they came on board as well. Peachy Events, so Peachy Events we work closely with as well. They help us with some of our AV. Reflect Recruitment. And then, of course, we've got Radio Newark, who joined us as a patron sponsor this year. And we're going to be hearing from, well, we're going to be speaking to Phil, surely, aren't we?
We are. And I think, you know, we sit as a committee and we try and, you know, do our best to keep Newark Business Club. We're the custodians of Newark Business Club at this moment in time. But, you know, we can't make decisions in isolation. So having some patrons who, you know, can give us feedback, are able to actually be part of those decision making was really important. And let's not forget, 18 months ago when we started the journey of changing the sponsorship structure, you know, look where inflation's gone. We were moving our home as well because we were moving from the Everyday Champions. And what we didn't want to do was you know, put Newark Business Club at risk. And the great thing about these patrons is, as well as every other sponsor we have, so this is about everybody, is they've allowed us to continue to thrive and continue to put on the events and the meetings and be what we are in the community.
Yeah, we've got that financial stability, and that's something that is really important. We talk about that often at our business club meetings as a committee, and we talk about, you know, the things that we can do, you know, but actually, you know, we have got some of that flexibility. And I think ultimately, like you just said, it is about making sure that Newark Business Club is sustainable. You know, it's certainly on my watch. I mean, we're in 22 years, so we want to make sure that, you know, we continue in the same vein. But yeah.
And I think, you know, the great thing about the patrons is they're engaged. You know, they're not just a checkbook. And that wouldn't actually be the types of patrons we want.
Yeah.
You know, we want them to be at our meetings. They want us to give us feedback. And they've given us some pretty fierce free feedback at times because, you know, they want value out of their investment.
Well, as you would tell me, I mean, you know, full 360 feedback is required.
Absolutely.
And we did, so one of the things that we did with our patrons last year, we'll be repeating that this year, is a patrons dinner. So we all got together. We had a meal in town, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And that was really great because that was another opportunity outside of the normal Breakfast Club meetings, outside of our committee meetings, to sit down. And I think it was your idea, actually. And I love the idea that actually for each course, we all swapped rounds. So it was not everyone, but the committee all swapped rounds so that we could all talk to different people. We could all have different conversations. And then, of course, we all fed back and talked about, yeah, some of those things that we are going to put in, whether it be some of the events, whether it's, again, additional support and resource in certain areas.
And at that evening, how many of the committee actually had a pad and were making notes through the evening?
I think it was just me. Oh, no, sorry. I think you might have made a few notes. Yeah. I think it was mainly me and you. I think everyone else was having a really good time.
Not that we weren't having a good time, but
there was a serious job.
Yeah.
You and I were interviewing at one point, I think. It was really trying to get some, but it is important, you know, and like you said, I think this is, yeah, I think partnership is the key word for me. You know, the patron sponsors that we brought on board, I think, again, Radio Newark joining us this year, can see the value, hopefully, in actually working with us as a partner in that space as well.
Yeah, and all of our patrons, you know, hopefully they bring something to us as much as we bring something to them, and, you know, we can work together. And this radio podcast, radio show is part of that, because broadening what we do, broadening our voice, giving a different way of communicating with businesses in the region.
Yeah, we're going to hear from some of those patrons throughout this process, throughout the journey of the business show, and they're going to come and join us, like Phil is, later on, to talk about that partnership and what it means to them, but also a bit about their business, you know, what they're all about. And it's great because actually when we look at that patron list, when we look at the companies that are on there, they represent loads of different industries, loads of different sectors. And again, coming back to that bit of sharing information, learning, insights, there's all sorts of different things. And as part of that patron piece, we hear, so there's a 10-minute speaking slot for each of them throughout the year, and we will get to hear stuff, and people will, you know, walk away with hopefully nuggets of information that they maybe didn't know before that meeting.
Yeah, and I think if you look at them all, they are all, you know, Newark born and bred as well. So they've grown into what they are. Some of them pretty big businesses, but they started as small acorns, and that's fantastic to see. And we are, you know, we're a thriving business community, and that's something that we should be very proud of, and we should work very hard to continue to develop and be part of.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
In terms of meeting sponsor, is it worth just talking about what the value of being a meeting sponsor is? Because I think it would be remiss not to explain to people why being a meeting sponsor at the business club has some value.
Yeah, and I think, you know, actually we can talk about the last meeting sponsor as an example, really.
Yeah,
so the last person that sponsored our January meeting, it was Wendy Baird from Tree of Wellbeing in Newark. And she, it was very interesting having a chat with Wendy beforehand, because she went, I'm a little bit nervous about talking. And I said to her, actually, I think that's probably better, because, you know your stuff, you know your subject, and you will come across very, very genuine. And it's better you do that than come across, you know, smug or salesy. You know, actually, if you wear your heart on your sleeve, if you come out and tell people about your business, you know, hopefully people will buy into that. And what's really interesting is, I mean, I've just booked myself an appointment there myself for a Hopi ear candle treatment. I've also heard that there's a number of people that have engaged and gone in on the back of what she talked about. So as a meeting sponsor, you get 20 minutes to speak to, like I say, 70, 80, up to 100 people that we usually have in that room, usually dependent on the weather and, you know, how people are feeling in the morning. But yeah, 80 to 100 people you can engage with. And, you know, it's your time to shine, your time to kind of talk about what your business does. And yeah, you know, I think there was lots of engagement and lots of follow up with Wendy and the team at Tree from her meeting sponsorship. And as well as speaking at the meeting, they'll bring their own banners, they'll bring their own marketing literature, and we allow them to put, you know, various bits and pieces on the tables so that actually, you know, all the different tables can engage and take away some of those marketing materials as well.
Yeah, and there's the social media. So right the way through the month of their sponsorship, they get activation on our social media, and they get an interview with Radio Newark, which gets onto their podcast page as well. So.
Of course, absolutely. So yeah, I think, you know, in terms of the meeting sponsorship, if anyone is interested in that, I think we are actually booked up until about August, September, maybe.
Yeah, I think July might be available if anybody's looking to
a plug. July is available. Anyone wants a July spot? But yeah, get in touch with us. You can actually email us. I think we've got the hello@newarkbusinessclub.co.uk email address if you are interested in sponsoring a business club meeting, or if you just want to find out a little bit more information about anything that we've been discussing so far.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of and something new, as a chairman of less than a year, so
only just.
Yeah, but it's been great. I mean, one of the great things of having.
I thought that was a dig.
No. Kevin, obviously, your predecessor did a great job through what were the trying times of post-COVID, and. Obviously, you've picked up the mantle last year, and it's always interesting to see how different chairs bring their own slant on what they want to do, their own personality, and you've brought a couple of things, one of which is Who Gives a Book. So do you want to talk to us about Who Gives a Book?
I was really nervous the day that I talked about that. So the idea was, again, in the same way that we mentioned sharing information, sharing knowledge, the idea that I had was that if we could get members to recommend different books, we could then go and purchase that book from a reputable bookstore, and then we could give that out during the meeting. So again, we do as part of our business card draws, we already give people a write-up in the Newark Advertiser and also on our newsletter. But the idea was to do another business card draw and give a book away. And we wanted to share that knowledge. And I just thought if we could do that, and through the 3 years that hopefully I am chair, that we could give 36 books away. If people can then reshare those books once they've read them, you know, that could be 50, 60, 70 people that have read new books.
That's really funny, because Mike Stokes, who has written a book.
He's written two, actually.
Yeah, I know. And you gave one away. Give one away and said to share it, and he actually was like, hang on a minute, I don't want them sharing. I want you to all come and buy it.
It was really interesting, actually, because I knew that Mike had actually written his own book, the positive networking book that he'd written. And he didn't know, but I had gone and bought that book as one of the first books to do. And then before the meeting started, he came up to me and he went, I've got you a gift. And he gave me a copy of the book. And I thought, I'm going to have to tell him that I'm just about to give this away, because I have actually gone onto another site. I won't mention that site. I've gone onto another site and I've bought that book already. So I didn't want him thinking that I'd basically just given that book away that he'd given me straight away. So I did have to show him I had two copies at that point of
did
the book.
Did you get him to sign it?
He signed mine.
There you go.
Yeah, I think he might have signed the other one that went to one of the members as well. But the idea of Who Gives a Book, like we say, is that we want to share those books. We want to give those books out during the meetings as well. And it's going all right so far, I think.
I think it's going fantastic. I think it's that piece of doing things differently, sharing information, getting people to think differently, which is what we want.
It was the committee meeting just before I rolled that out into one of the meetings. And in my head, I'd said, Who Gives a Book? And I took it to the committee meeting and I thought, can we call it this? And I actually thought there might be a couple of people that kicked back at it. And I got lots of smiles and went, I think that really works.
Yeah, so, absolutely. No, it's great. It's a really good idea. And I think, you know, though that the committee's a really broad part of the business community, covering lots of different areas. And you know, there's lots of challenge in there, but there's also a lot of support. And, you know, as a committee, I think Simon Shaw says one of the challenges of everybody being voluntary is you can only ask them to do what they want to do. So, but fortunately, all of them are really committed and are always going the extra mile.
Good, committed committee. No, Simon Shaw is very, very good. And solid helping me with lots of decisions. I think it was actually one of the first meetings where after I'd become chairman, and I think it was 3 days before the meeting that the sponsor decided that maybe didn't have the resources to be a sponsor.
Wasn't because you were the new chair.
Well, hopefully not. And but I did ring Simon because I was away on holiday at the time. I was in Norfolk with not a lot of signal, so I had to kind of go slightly further inland to make a phone call. And I rang Simon panicking. And he went, "Don't worry, it's fine. We've got this sorted." I went, "Is this, you know, does this happen often?" And he went, "I can't remember it happening ever in the last 20 years." But But we managed to sort it, and he was very, very good at that moment and helped me, and we managed to sort that and move on. And it's not happened since, so, you know.
Good stuff, good stuff. Right, shall we bring in our patron sponsor?
I think we should.
And have a chat to Radio Newark's very own.
Radio Newark's own. Phil.
Phil, thanks for joining us on our first business show. With me, Michael Hardy, and him, Simon Gebitas. And obviously, we're delighted to have you here in Radio Newark as part of the Business Club sponsors. And that's something that you've started this year. What got you sort of interested in sort of being more involved? You've obviously turned up in your monkey suit before now.
It wasn't me. That's all false.
So you've done those sort of things, which is great, but you know, getting a bit closer to the business club, which we're delighted with. But what was the thinking behind that?
I think it was just that. I mean, I started going along to the business club 10 years ago dressed as a monkey, and then realized 10 years down the line we've not done much else in 10 years, which is just terrible, because you know, the radio station's been here in town now since 2013.
Wow.
And having links with some of the committee members, you know, Michelle Allen, for example, we've spoken about earlier, who's one of our directors, she's our financial director. It was just one of those things, again, that, you know, you sit in a meeting and you go, well, why aren't we helping out more? Why aren't we part of this? And couldn't, well, there was no wrong answer, but we wanted an answer. It was like, we need to do something about it. We've had a couple of changes here in the last few months, so we've been able to restructure the way we manage the business. And it just all happened at the right time, really.
Brilliant. So talk us about the setup at the radio station. How's it incorporated?
Yeah, so we are a not-for-profit limited by guarantee organisation. So we have five directors, no shareholding, because that's the way it's set up. So we're custodians, basically. a not-for-profit basis. We're based at Barmby Road Academy Primary School, which we've, again, we've been here for a decade now, which is incredible, considering they only gave me the room for 6 months.
It's still a lovely setup. No, really, really good setup.
And this was actually part of the final Ofcom round of FM licensing. So we're traditionally on FM. And they've not really done much Ofcom since then. So we really came in right at the last stage of FM licensing across the country. In favour now, of course, of the DAB, digital radio kind of thing. That's what new people and new stations are doing. And yeah, we have a lovely team of around 30 volunteers. So none of the presenters on air get paid. They all do it for the love of broadcasting.
Sorry. We don't get paid for this.
You don't get paid for this, sorry.
You can wear a monkey suit later.
We'll pay you monkey nuts. Yeah. So yeah, everybody, you know, loves the town, loves the area, wants to support business. You know, we do need to find money to run this place. Luckily, we keep the costs right down. But, you know, we want to get more involved and engaged in what's happening locally, and being part of the business club just made sense.
Brilliant. And in terms of shows and what sort of coverage do you have?
We call it As Live. So every show you hear on the air will be either delivered live or as live within minutes of things happening. We have some very clever technology, which means that, like, we're sitting in this lovely studio here. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll be able to see it. But a lot of our presenters actually broadcast from home.
Wow.
So they can actually dial into the system and actually do a live show from anywhere else. So it helps with the volunteer side of things, because you can't always get people in when they're working, because they've got to work. A lot of people work from home, which is good. You can combine the two things, so you can actually work from home and do a radio show at the same time. If you wanted to, just don't tell the boss. So yeah, I mean, it just gives us that super flexibility to be able to maneuver around it and do live events too. So yeah, technology is incredible nowadays.
And I know personal experience, I've been on the sports show with Mark Gore, so you focus very much on topics that are interesting and focused on the local area.
Yeah, well, that's the USP. You know, if somebody says, why does Radio Newark need to exist? Well, we believe it's because, actually, these little community radio stations are the only local radio left, really, in the country now, because we're seeing commercial broadcasters all move out of areas. They're becoming quasi-national or national brands. We're seeing the BBC local radio network actually start to slim out, become more regionalised. These stations, you know, live in their towns, in their markets. We're here in Newark. You know, we've got two radio stations up the road in Lincoln that do similar things. There's a new station, I'm led to believe, happening in Grantham later in the year as well. So, yeah, and these are all designed to have volunteers at them, to live in partnership with other not-for-profit organisations, just like the Barmby Road Trust is, and we live in here. And that's why it works very well with the business club, because, as you say, you guys are all volunteers as well. You know, we're all in it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, absolutely. And I think just talking about what we said earlier on, we want to be the voice for business in Newark. And I suppose, you know, you're actually allowing us to be that voice here right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, many people have said to me, well, you know, what's the relevance of a broadcast facility in the 21st century? I say to them, look, you know, YouTube's fantastic. TikTok's great. You know, X, I keep calling it Twitter. I can't call it X. You know, X, Facebook. They are fantastic. They're crowded marketplaces, though. So, you know, everyone's doing it. You know, everyone's going for it. We combine with the radio station social with traditional broadcast, and one really helps the other out. So, you know, there'll be certain things that lends itself better to being on the radio, so you can hear it in a car. You don't have to be faffing with your phone. You can listen to the radio. And other times like this, you know, we're recording this today. It's live now, it's recorded. We're going to put it out on YouTube, so you can watch, you know, your beautiful faces. Because a lot of, well, most of us are lazy. Oh, sorry, nosy, not lazy. Most of us are nosy, aren't we? Some of us are lazy. Most of us are nosy. And we like to see how things work.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And being based at the school, so what do you get out of the school? What does a school get out of having you here?
That's a good question. Okay, so we have a group of year six children that have a media club with us every Wednesday. So it started out, say, 10 years ago as the radio club, because back 10 years ago, radio was still, you know, a thing that kids listened to and did. We've evolved it over the last couple of years, so it's now a media club, hence why we've got big cameras in here and we do things with them. So they have that every week. They do three live radio shows. So we put them on the air, either 3 till 4 in the afternoon or 4 till 5 in the afternoon every term. So they get to do some live stuff.
What an amazing opportunity that is.
And thirdly, amongst their peers, they get to be known as, you know, the media team. So year sixes at the end of the year have a 20-minute video made of their life at Barmby Road. And before all this happened, of course, you'd get a professional company to come in and they'd, you know, work with the kids over a couple of days, create this wonderful piece and disappear. And we thought, wouldn't it be better if the kids did it?
Yeah.
So what we do is we work with the children here and they film it, edit it, look after the whole thing and get the credits at the end. And that just that's the total ownership of the school to work with the children and have the media outlet here in the building. So.
Fantastic. Mm. That's fantastic. What an opportunity.
Yeah, we hope so. And they seem to get very excited about it, so that's good.
Yeah, and another collaboration. You know, that's kind of what we've been talking about through this kind of podcast episode. But it's about working together, that collaboration, sharing information, sharing skills, you know, those skills that... Because, I mean, I guess before... Really, in fact, I know this, but other people might not. But your history before Radio Newark, as again, it's radio, isn't it?
Yeah, I somehow decided as a teenager that I loved radio, and I'm going back to the late 80s here, so back then, you know, big stations had big audiences and big bank balances as well. I mean, you know, Trent in Nottingham, I worked for Lynx FM for a while. These companies were worth a few quid.
Yeah.
So actually at the time you were like, well, this is a good thing to do, you know, this is a rather nice job to get into. It's changed somewhat since, but the love for it is still there. I'm from the northwest of England originally, so my local radio station was Radio City in Liverpool, and it was like the place where you wanted to work. I was 15 and bunking off school to spend days in commercial production at Radio City because I wanted to learn how a process, you know, how a physical process happened, how you get somebody in a studio wanting to advertise on a radio station, and how you literally sit there with a piece of paper and a pen and turn it into an amazing piece of audio. And that was where I was. It was just great.
So how can people listen to Radio Newark? What are the different... Obviously, FM, you mentioned 107.8.
Yeah, so we've been on 107.8 FM for 10 years. We actually transmit from St Mary's Spire.
I was going to ask you about that, because we started a conversation and we talked about the convoluted way that actually... that works. So tell us more.
So basically, again, it's one of those things. When we launched the station, we used to transmit from the school. The school's quite low down in the town. FM needs to be high up. One of our directors is Tony Roberts, Anthony Roberts, so he's been part of St Mary's for a while too. And I kind of said to him one evening, might sound ridiculous this, but can I put a mast inside that tower? And he went, no, probably not. But you know, we worked with the Diocese of Sutherland Nottingham. And they actually worked in partnership with us and let us do it. So we've been able to do all that. And it's because, again, this is down to people. It's down to the local marketplace. It's down to the fact that we don't have shareholders here. We're not here to make a profit for fat cats that don't care. We don't have any fat cats, literally. Anything that comes in...
Just big monkeys.
Just big monkeys, yeah. Every penny that comes in, if we can make a surplus, goes right back into the organisation to make it bigger and better. So we're using every penny they give us to reinvest back into this business.
So going back to how we can listen to...
Yeah, we'll answer that question.
Yeah. You're like a politician.
107.8 FM is the main kind of outlet still. Alexa smart speakers are just mental. People have got them now everywhere, you know, all over the house. So if you've got an Alexa, you can say, Alexa, enable Radio Newark skill.
Do you know what's just happened on lots of people's Alexas?
We've just ruined everything. And then you just say after that, Alexa, stop, and she'll stop. But
Radio Newark is playing everywhere now.
Yeah, that's it. Look at those stats, those web stats. You can listen on the website. So we have a website dedicated to this. You'd hit listen live. You can also listen on the app. We've got a really cool app you can download from the Apple with the App Store and Google Play, which is very interactive as well. So these things aren't free. We have to pay for these. They're quite expensive. But we think it's a really good way of getting right in with our audience. So you can do that as well. And we're hoping very shortly to be able to be onto digital radio as well. So we'll see how that goes inside the next few months. So maybe for another podcast we can branch out. I've got the nod, potentially, to get into the Nottingham market as well. So we'll see how that goes.
And in terms of the app, am I right in saying people can record on there and download?
Yeah, if you have the app on the top right-hand corner, there's a little speech bubble.
Yep.
If you click it, you can send a message to us, whether it be a text message or Facebook message, or you can record. So you can send a 30-second message from your phone, and it automatically comes into us, and then we can rebroadcast it if you would like us to do it, and also it doesn't break the law. And we can do that as well. So, yeah, it's a nice little toys that we've got.
Absolutely.
We like to play with.
Mm. Well, Phil, really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. We're delighted you're a sponsor for this year.
As we are.
Working together is going to be fruitful for us all.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. And yeah, I'm just still getting used to not only listening to my own voice, but actually looking at you in front of me, listening to that voice that I hear all the time on Radio Newark.
Scary.
It is. In fact, Michael and I were having a catch-up the other day at the YMCA, listening. Well, we actually said, we need to chat to Phil about something. And then out of nowhere, your voice came on on the speaker behind us.
The sound of the mister on.
Yeah, and then Michelle Allen walked up to us as well. So we were being pincered because we had the finance director of Radio Newark and the DJ of Radio Newark.
The DJ and the operations director of Radio Newark.
How about that? Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for letting me come onto this wonderful podcast. And I hope it really works out well for everyone.
Thank you. No, thank you very much. Thank you for letting us use this facility as well. It's absolutely fantastic.
So I think that's about the end of our first show.
Wow.
So hopefully this has been informative, had a bit of interest.
I mean, if not, we'll probably hear from patron sponsors or the people that want to give us some feedback. But again, you know, we are looking for that feedback. And we look forward to hearing about, what you think.
And if you have any ideas or want to share what you'd like to hear on this business podcast, then please let us know.
Speak to Michael.
Yeah,
just Michael. Or no, email us at hello@ New York Business Club at Co.uk.
Thank God for that. So if you're on your way or you've arrived, you can get out of your car now, walk across the car park, hello, and we'll see you inside in 30 seconds.
Well, if that actually happens, who are they going to see first?
Me.
Because you are officially the car park attendant.
I am the car park attendant.
With the Hives vest. Make sure you smile at Michael.
Thanks very much, everybody.